everyone, and welcome into the Talking Puck Podcast. I'm Callahan, Mike Haynes here with you. Thank you so much for joining us and joining us on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. And Mike and I have made an executive decision between the two of us. Breaking news. Talking Puck TV is now going to air also on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. So, Mike, a little lunchtime hockey talk.
Well, I just couldn't turn down the financial offer that that you gave me.
Yes.
It's just I needed, you know, I wanted that second home. So, you know, this is going to work out perfect.
In Hawaii. Yes.
This will all work out great.
That'll be fantastic. Mike's compensation is undisclosed. We have a confidentiality clause.
Talk about doing it just for the love of the game.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what? We're kind of getting the first normal hockey season in 3 years. It started a little bit late, but by taking out the Winter Olympics, it feels almost normal. It's going to end a little bit later than usual, and I think, you know, next year, hopefully nothing crazy happens in our world that we're right back on track. So I'm kind of excited to see how this season is going to play out. Trade deadline still coming. Playoff races are happening. Positioning is happening. So there's enough there, I think, for us to talk about three times a week. And if anything, you and I can always find things to talk about, even if nothing's going on. So not worried about content, but you know, you and I enjoy doing this show so much, and I hope people are enjoying it as well and spreading the word about it, telling others about it. So as we continue to grow, it only makes sense to have more shows.
Yes, absolutely. And we do appreciate everybody who's been here with us, especially those of you who've been here from the beginning. It's nice to know that people are listening and have feedback and opinions on what you're doing. And like Mike said, I mean, we just love doing it. So we will continue to do it. Now we're going to do it more. See what you did.
It's your fault. That's right. If you hadn't been listening, we wouldn't be doing it.
That's right. We had zero support, you know. Don't take that as a, yeah, just stay here. Please stay. All right, let's get into it, Mike. I want to do a chat, and we talked about this. You and I, it's funny, we both came in with a bunch of news items from the same division, and I think it's, there's so much going on right now in the Pacific Division in the NHL. So, taking a look at this, you've got some big storylines. Tyler Toffoli traded going over to Calgary, where the goaltender, Jacob Markstrom, was just named Player of the Week, and the Flames, pardon the pun, are indeed heating up. Evander Kane, you want to talk about a hot situation, returns to San Jose with the Edmonton Oilers, and maybe the hottest story of all, if it works out, Jack Eichel is back in Vegas Wednesday night. So any of those three, I lob it up to you, sir.
First of all, I think it's still the hottest story, even if it doesn't work out. True. I mean, it's the biggest story in hockey this year in terms of off the ice. That trade from Buffalo to Vegas of Jack Eichel and the ramifications that has for both teams. And let's not forget Buffalo. What's going to happen there in Buffalo with this? But what happens with Vegas? What happens in that Pacific Division race? And will it have ramifications all the way to the conference finals? How good is Eichel going to be? What kind of impact? But I think we should start with Calgary. It's almost like I don't know whether it's they don't have. I'm trying to think of the right words for it. When you think of the personality of the Calgary Flames, do you know immediately what kind of team that is? I'm not sure. They've gone through some changes. They had a big coaching change at the end of last year.
Yes.
And Sutter's, I'll tell you what, he has started to put his imprint on there. You and I did the show right after the firing, the change was made, and Daryl Sutter was brought back to Calgary, and we knew that this is a guy who he doesn't take any guff. There's no fooling around. Not a whole lot of yucks with Sutter, but he
no,
but he does win. And the question was, could he adjust, or could he take his coaching philosophy into today's game and make it work? Well, Tom, Calgary is playing really well.
Yeah.
And I think at the beginning, I think everybody kind of conceded, all right, Vegas will finish first. Where's everybody else going? Calgary is going to make a real run for first place and home ice advantage in the early rounds in that Pacific Division. You mentioned about Markstrom, player of the week. Obviously, he's a goalie, so they're getting good goaltending. And I'll lead out back to you. This Toffoli trade, this is the first big trade. Now, they had to give up a first rounder for him as part of the big deal. Tom, how much effect is this going to have on the team, good or bad, if you will?
Well, this so I love this trade actually for both teams because Montreal is going nowhere fast. And even if some people are arguing, well, it's a late first round pick, Montreal is going to stockpile picks. And by the way, they may not be done. Montreal and Calgary may not be done. There's talk about the potential for a trade yet for perhaps a defenseman coming out of there. We can talk about that in a minute. But to work on the Toffoli deal, Montreal gets a decent package back. Nothing crazy. But looking at Toffoli, he is a later career forward who has shown that he can still bring some offense. But he's coming to a team where he doesn't need to be the guy. And I think that that's incredibly important. Number one, Daryl Sutter knows him from his time in L.A. And Sutter trusts him from that time. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone out and asked for him and brought him in. So number one, Sutter's already got an idea. He's either going to re-energize the Calgary third line or possibly see some maybe top six, I would say second line time. He's capable of playing those. He can play the power play. He is a veteran guy, and he doesn't need to be a top line scoring threat. Calgary actually is well balanced, and I think that now they're deeper. They obviously have the goaltending right now. Yeah, they might be looking at Shabbat on defense. I like this a lot for the Flames because they didn't really alter the core or the chemistry of this hockey team. They added to it. And I think that most teams, Mike, would you agree with this? Come trade deadline, the teams that feel the most confident about themselves are not the ones looking for the rentals and the big-time home runs. They're the ones looking for that piece, mid-tier piece that's going to come in and solidify whatever little crack they think is in the foundation. And I think that's what Calgary is doing.
Yes, I think generally. I happen to have been around a hockey team that was not afraid to come play off time to make gigantic trades.
True.
Ray Bourque, Theo Fleury, Rob Blake. I mean, you just go down there. So I've seen teams that look like they were on the path to get in deep into the playoffs and still went for that big trade. But I agree with you. I think the thinking is more so if you are one of the top teams in the league, you're going, we've got most of the pieces. We just need a little something here, a little something there to get us over the hump. But I think for Calgary, it's a big trade. This is and good for them to get out there early, because I think for Toffoli, he proved himself last year in the playoffs as a guy who could score when it was really hard to score in the playoffs. Especially, I think it was a series against Vancouver. He was really, really good. So here's a guy they went out and got him early. That was a nice job. You know, you had to give up a number one pick. But Calgary must feel like they've got something this year that they can make a big push. You don't want to give up that first round pick if you're still in that building process. If you're a team that's like, okay, we want to make the playoffs. We're looking, you know, we're still 3 years down the road before we're going to really fight for the Stanley Cup. But Calgary must feel pretty confident. If you're gonna give away a first round pick, and teams don't do that easily these days, they must feel like they've got something going, and so good for them. First of all, I've always been a huge Johnny Gaudreau fan. I love that guy. I like players like him. Like guys who have great hockey imagination, who do things that you go, holy cow, what did I just see there? So I love that. But they also got a lot of solid players as well. There is talk about they do need, you know, they lost, they lost in the expansion draft, lost a key defenseman. So I think they'll probably try to get something else back on the blue line. But they're getting the goaltending, which that has been a thorn in the side since Kiprusoff retired. So they're getting the goaltending, and this sets up a pretty good playoff race between them and Vegas.
Which is exactly the point I wanted to make, because right now, and now Robin Leonard's a little banged up, but even head to head this season, based on current play, and I mean, Markstrom, I know, has been up and down, and he's journeyed around the league a little bit, Florida, Vancouver, but now he appears to really be rolling into his prime. Head to head, I think it's a better matchup for Calgary. Now, I think Vegas is better defensively. That's why Calgary's trying to shore things up. Vegas will have, come playoffs, a better top line, and we can talk about this, as they flipped Mark Stone onto the IR. And I made a little joke about that on Twitter because of the whole Kucherov situation last year. That's what's going to happen with Stone this year. So I said it's about a 500 Kucherov, 500K difference in salary. But that's exactly what Vegas is doing. And so they're going to have a better top line if everybody's healthy and playing well. But can Calgary be deeper? Tyler Toffoli coming on board helped to make them deeper. And you know what? The guy we've all stopped talking about, because quite frankly, he hasn't earned the spotlight, is Sean Monahan. They have a decision coming up with Monahan. He slipped down the ranks, kind of been out of favor, has not been the player he was earlier in his career. Do you maybe try to roll the dice and put Monahan with a Toffoli to see if it reignites him, gets him going a little bit? Still think he's a very talented player, but just, you know, he's just as likely to end up on the fourth line as anything else most nights.
Yeah, no, but I think he's got the capability, and it's players like that. When you have that much talent, what you hope is that they can jump on that moving train. And if the team starts playing well and things start clicking and the confidence is growing, it's always fascinating to me that players with a lot of talent, all of a sudden, they start jumping along with everybody else. So you don't want to dismiss him. He's a talented player. So it's going to be a good race. And let's get into the – you want to, let's get into the Eichel situation. So sure. It's going to happen now in February. Tomorrow's the 16th. So he's coming back on the 16th of February. This is remarkable. Months.
Yeah,
it's remarkable though. Not you kidding me? Come on, let's be honest. There are all the stories where they hope they get him back for the playoffs. They want him back for the playoffs, right? Yep. He's coming back February 16th. Now, how's it going to be? It remains to be seen. But wow, what a story! If he can come back and play well, what are you hearing? What are you reading about in terms of how he is practicing? How is it going? How does he look?
So he's, and again, this is a player who hasn't played in a year and a half. So, but Eichel is tremendously talented, very skilled. And he actually, I mean, I say this with a wry grin, Mike, but looks better than I think a lot of people thought he would. You know, he's moving around pretty quick. And really the test that I think everyone was a little nervous about, including me, and I'm sure including Jack Eichel, was contact in practice, kind of bumping into guys. Now, look, you're not going to throw an NHL caliber hit at arguably your best player in practice, so he hasn't survived a game yet. But going through and being able to kind of, you know, you run into guys, we see it all the time in NHL practices, you know, you run yourself into the glass sometimes, or guys just kind of, you know, I know they're being more careful with him, but if he can get through that, if he could take that first big hit, the speed seems to be there. He's in shape. He feels good. He's not experiencing crazy. And I can't imagine if he'd have had spinal fusion surgery, which, by the way, how does this not look on the Buffalo Sabres? Holy cow. Now, look, Alex Tuch looks very good on a line with Jeff Skinner. Jeff Skinner has quietly scored 20 goals for the Sabres this year, but Eichel's not Tuch, you know, and Peyton Krebs can pan out to be a tremendous player. Not Jack Eichel. Not, it just won't be. And so the picks they get will be low round picks. Meaning they're further back because Vegas is going to finish top 10, top 5 again this year. When Eichel steps into that lineup, steps into that arena, there's going to be an electricity that hasn't been there in a while. And I was looking at his power play numbers, Mike. And look, we all know Vegas had a scoring drought, right? In the last 2 years of playoffs, all of a sudden their scoring dried up and they got eliminated both times. Eichel in his last full year, not this year, but 2019-20 was the last full season for him. His numbers, possession metrics, were crazy. They were better than Connor McDavid's best season. I looked this up, which is crazy to think about. But of course, that's always the head-to-head comparison, right? Is McDavid and Eichel. So now, if you're Vegas and you're having trouble scoring goals, what's the best way to score? Possess the puck. Who's really good at that? Well, Jack Eichel, as it turns out. So I think the way he's going to affect this team is going to be not only with his creativity, and in a way, he's lucky it's Stone that's out and not Pacioretty, because Pacioretty's the finisher. Stone is also a creative playmaking kind of guy, just like Eichel. I'm really interested to see those two develop this chemistry down the stretch, and then when they re-add Stone for the playoffs, by the way, my words, not theirs, but that's how it's going to go. This allows Vegas to keep most of their team together and now stay three lines deep.
Although you have a guy in Stone, I guess the theory just gets thrown out when you look at what Kucherov did when he came back last year. He missed an entire year. So Stone comes back, and if he plays well, wow, that's a dynamic line. So it makes it more fun, I think, for fans of the Pacific Division. Vegas against Calgary for first place, home ice advantage. That's a huge race now, and I think it's good for both teams. If I really think sometimes those division races can be really good, because it makes you have to show up. Every point becomes important because you want to finish first. You want that home ice advantage, and so both teams should be going full tilt for the rest of the season, and that's good. That'll be fun hockey to watch.
And To kind of keep this going, looking at the Edmonton Oilers now, who went into San Jose, Evander Kane goes back to San Jose, gets grilled by the press there and didn't handle it well. I'm interested to see now what else can the Oilers possibly offer to try to be that third team. Because, Mike, tell me, whether you look at the standings or not, but even off the top of our heads, who's team number three in the Pacific Division? It's Calgary, Vegas, and I think it's those two in the race, and then, I don't know, it's kind of a jumble of everybody else, isn't it?
Kings, probably. I don't know. I'm not sure about Anaheim now. You're right. It's going to be – because are you thinking more and more that we're going to get five teams out of the Central and three out of the Pacific?
It may come down to that, especially if Edmonton doesn't recover, although they seem to be playing better under Jay Woodcroft. Evander Kane is not the be-all end-all for them. Now, he was free, essentially. Yeah. He was free. But Edmonton still has cap problems. Edmonton still is not home free. Edmonton still needs goaltending, by the way.
That's the issue, isn't it? And, we're going to do a lot of trade talk, not only other podcasts, but also on our Sunday night show. And, boy, what does Edmonton do? If you don't have any room, can you put someone on long-term and then make a trade? That's something to think about, because that's a pretty good plan for Vegas right now. They can make that work. But it's a two-team race, and then it'll be interesting to see. I don't know. I don't know where the goaltending of Edmonton can do it. It might be Los Angeles or Anaheim. If Edmonton doesn't make it, I think right now you're looking at three teams making it out of the. So refresh memory for people.
Sure.
If there are three teams in one division, five in the other, who does the first place team in the Pacific? If there's three teams, they play number five out of the Central.
Five becomes the swing team.
Gotcha. Okay. Which won't be an easy one. You know what? There's five good teams are going to make it out of the Central if they do. That's not going to be an easy. That won't be an easy walk in the park over there.
Yeah.
I think you're rooting. If you finish first the Pacific, wouldn't you rather face an Anaheim or Los Angeles than facing whoever finishes fifth in the Central?
I guess it really depends on what those teams look like after the trade deadline, but. Yeah. I mean, in the Central, the teams are so clumped up. You don't know. It could end up that Minnesota finishes fifth. That's still a really deep and talented hockey team. Mm-hmm. Or maybe your preference is, you never know who might be kind of falling at the end of the year. But I still think the Central's a tough division. It's still a tough division.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's going to be hard for whoever finishes first in the Pacific. But I'm excited now. I like the Toffoli trade a lot. I can't wait to talk on Sunday night about the Eichel returning. Yes. And how he looks. That'll be fun. So things heating up, and Pacific Division, which might have been the least interesting division, has suddenly become much more interesting to me to watch.
It really has. And you know what? That's not a foregone conclusion to think that this year's Cup champion, as much as we talk about the Central and love the Central, might not come out of the Pacific. Could Mm-mm. be Calgary, could be Vegas. They both look really good at this point.
Yeah, but what you don't know is in the Central if they just beat each other up.
Right.
And then you get to that conference final, and maybe it's a little bit easier to get through that Pacific than it would be. You're going to have quite a battle, I think, coming out of that Central.
I'll tell you what, if you're going to beat both Calgary and Vegas to get out of the Pacific, you're not going to have much left either.
No, that's it. You've probably expelled everything that you have, for sure.
Yes, absolutely. All right, well, that's a good place to park this podcast. Want to say thanks to everybody for listening. Please like, follow, subscribe. Talking Puck TV, the podcast, is out a couple times a week, and the show live on Sunday nights. And as we told you earlier, big announcement, we're going to go to Tuesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Pacific, broadcasting live, Mike and I, for the duration of the season here. We'll do a couple extra shows a week, and there's a lot going on. So thanks for joining us, everybody, and follow along as we really make our way through, Mike, I think what might be, quite honestly, by the time all is said and done, this might be the most interesting playoff race that we've seen in a couple of years.
Well, I think what makes it more interesting, the last 2 years, I don't think there was any doubt that Tampa Bay was the best team in the NHL. They really were, especially once the playoffs got going. They had the best goalie. When Kucherov came back last year, they were the best team. I mean, you know, they had a couple of scares. That's going to happen to any team that wins a Stanley Cup. You're not gonna win every single game. So they had a couple of scares. That they had that long marathon overtime, you know, that they won last year to help. But I don't think there's a clear cut favorite. There are some top teams, Tom, but there's not a. I don't think Tampa Bay is so far above where they were in the last 2 years. So I think it's a lot more open, and that makes it interesting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great points. All right. We'll talk more about that on subsequent pods. But for now, for Mike Haynes, I'm Tom Callahan. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.